and then all the variety of different pitches. How about his? Right, you're right. That is extremely unusual. And I was just going to comment, and I know it's part of the five package, five tool package, but his speed. This guy is really a great runner. He runs like a wide receiver. He looks, I go to NFL games, he looks like a wide receiver. I'd love to see what that would look like also. If you get him outside and let him just be an athlete again. Again, it's just unusual, and we all got to watch it every night. And I'm telling you, there's not a guy in that locker room that wasn't pulling for him constantly because of what kind of teammate he is. Last night, Mikey Trout, Mike put out some really good stuff, and he was effusively happy for Shohei's success.
There's Joe Maddon on with Lawrence Holmes earlier this week right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Welcome back to Inside the Clubhouse alongside Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito in for David Haugh this week. And Bruce, we're very excited heading out to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book.
A good friend, a great baseball guy, and somebody who has wonderful Chicago roots. Perry Minassian, the general manager of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, joining us on Inside the Clubhouse on this blustery Chicago Saturday morning. Perry, Bruce Levine, and Mike Esposito, thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Perry, let's give people a little bit of the history of you in baseball and your family roots, because it's really fascinating. I've known three generations of your family as friends. Your grandfather, Eddie Minassian, who was a great, great person and a great restaurateur in Chicago in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, going back forever. Your dad, Zach Minassian, who had a great career in baseball with numerous teams, including being one of the best friends and one of the confidants of Tommy Lasorda with the Dodgers going back into the early 70s. And now you and your brothers in baseball. It's been quite a journey for you and your family.
Yeah, it has. It has. I couldn't be any luckier than I am. Obviously, grew up in the game. The game is in my blood. I love everything about it, the ups, the downs. Grew up in the clubhouse. My father ran the clubhouse for the Texas Rangers for 20-plus years. We were on the visiting side early in his career and was able to see a lot of different clubs come through, a lot of different managers, whether it be Sparky Anderson, Tom Kelly. You know, I can go on and on. Great players like Cal Ripken, Alan Trammell, Kirby Puckett. So was able to see a lot of different teams and how they mesh and what kind of personalities they have. And, you know, it was a lot of work. We grew up, we were expected to work. I have three brothers. My oldest is a lawyer in Chicago. He's the only one with any brains. You know, my other two brothers, one works for the Giants. One works for the Giants in their front office. And obviously they had an unbelievable year. And my other brother works for the Atlanta Braves. He runs their home clubhouse. So it's definitely a baseball family, and we appreciate every minute we're in the game. And I will tell you this, the dinner table, it's not much stimulating conversation for my mother. You know, it's a lot of baseball talk.
Yeah, and you know what? Your brother is going to get a World Series ring after that run for Atlanta too. So I'm sure everyone's happy for him in that regard.
Oh yeah. So he won. He was with Washington when they won in 19. So obviously went to the Braves this season. This was his first year with Atlanta, winning another ring. He gave the first ring to my dad. So who knows what he's going to do with the second one? Maybe he'll take care of my mom, and he'll definitely move up the ranks. As far as the ranking of the four of us.
For sure. Well, and you know what? We heard from Joe Maddon, your manager there for the Angels, and a man that we loved hearing from here in Chicago all the time when he was with the Cubs. He was on our station every week for many years. Talking about Shohei Ohtani, and Bruce and I were talking about this earlier. We haven't seen a season like that that Shohei just did literally since Babe Ruth with the pitching and the hitting.
Yeah, I think it's obviously, I think everything you could say has been said to a certain extent. Seeing him play on an everyday basis, I have never seen a player in any sport dominate that sport for the year like he has this season. And I there's so much, you know, there's so much behind the scenes I wish people could see. The work ethic is second to none. the commitment to being as good at his craft as he could possibly be is second to none. The preparation, the reflection, you know, he's all baseball all the time. And I think one of the things we talked about in spring training when we had a chance to sit him down, and, you know, I give Joe a lot of credit on the year Shohei had. The communication was outstanding. We talked about letting him play, you know, and told him our expectations are he's playing until he tells us he's not. So, and he really took that to heart. And obviously, you know, to keep your mind and body in the right physical condition to play like he did and perform like he did on both sides of the ball was just, it was amazing to watch.
Perry, you have superstars all over the place on the field. I know pitching is an area that you wanted to address. And you were pretty stealth right here signing Noah Syndergaard after missing 2 years. He's was a free agent, and you quickly signed him after he turned down the qualifying offer to a one-year deal after coming off of Tommy John. Give us some thoughts about what the thinking is with Syndergaard and your offseason of looking for more pitching.
Yeah, we have some really talented players, obviously. Mike Trout, Anthony Rendon, Shohei, Jared Walsh, David Fletcher. You know, we like some of our young pitchings, whether it's Sandoval or Junk or Detmers or Canning. So we feel like we've had have a nice nucleus. We need to add to it. And we need health. You know, that's something that I'm going to church tomorrow, you know, just to make sure I say a couple extra prayers on the health front for our players. So, but yeah, we need Anthony, we need Mike to be on the field. I think that's huge. We won 77 games, and I know nobody gives you awards for 77 wins, but you know, I think those guys played a combined 82 games, and you know, we were competitive for, you know, up till August, middle of August, end of August, we were competitive. So I take a lot of pride in that. I think it's a good group of guys. But with that being said, we know we have a lot of work to do, and we know we need to add to this club. And there's no secrets here. I've told everybody and their brother, you know, we need pitching. And, you know, we're going to be aggressive. We're going to continue to be aggressive and try and add the right pieces. Noah was somebody I had familiarity with. We did a ton of work on where he's at. Physically, you know, what his expectations are going forward. Had a chance to meet him in New York, and right after the GM meetings, got back Thursday night and jumped on a plane early Friday morning, flew to New York, had dinner, and it was an outstanding dinner. It was, you know, 3+ hours. We talked about a lot of different things and, you know, what I felt like we had to offer as an organization and what he could do, what he could accomplish and what he could bring to this team, which, you know, I think there's something to be said for, you know, you have those big starters, those guys that walk on the mound, and the catcher and the seven behind them are really, really exciting. I think this is one of those guys. He brings a certain moxie to the team that I think, quite frankly, we lacked a little bit. Looking forward to seeing him healthy, and hopefully he can perform like he has, if not better, in the past.
Talking to Angels General Manager Perry Minasian here on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score. And Perry, you mentioned Mike Trout, and he obviously had injury issues this year, as you alluded to. But we're talking about, someone who has loved baseball, you know, my whole life, you look at generational players, and there's, you know, handfuls of these guys as you go out through the years. To me, and I don't want to overstate it, but I'd love your opinion on this, you know, you can put already Mike Trout into that group, can't you? I mean, he can go up there with, and I don't want to, pick your Ted Williams or your Mickey Mantle out. I mean, I think in this era, Mike Trout is that guy. I don't think anyone would argue with you either.
Yeah, he's something else. And just being with him for the year, I've been very fortunate. I've been a lot of great players. I've been around a lot of multiple MVPs, you know, multiple MVP seasons. And the one common thread with the greats, the best of the best, is they're generational competitors. And this guy is a generational competitor. There's, you know, I joke around, I call him Action, you know, in the clubhouse, because he's always looking to compete in something, you know, whether it's throwing a little rolled up piece of paper in the trash can or playing ping pong, whatever it may be, he's looking to compete. So he's obviously, his talent speaks for itself. know, what he can do on a baseball field, you know, in the batter's box, on defense, just other people can't do. You know, the one thing walking into this place and just seeing how much he loves to play. This was a tough year for him. I think he'd be the first one to tell you. You know, having the injury he had and not being able to do something that he loves doing, that I know he's compensated really well, but he's one of those guys that for some reason, if there was a game in a schoolyard, he'd grab a bat and go play. So he loves everything about baseball, and he's a joy to be around.
Perry Minasian, the general manager of the Angels, with great Chicago roots and great family background, joining us on Inside the Clubhouse for a few more minutes. And Perry, you had the dubious distinction, and one called an honor for sure, of having to tell Albert Pujols, one of the great players of the last 50 years, maybe the best right-handed hitter over the last 30 or 40, that his time was up with the Angels this year. Probably not the easiest thing you had to do, and probably a sleepless night or two before and after you had to do it. Yeah. How difficult was that, number one? And number two, give me your philosophy on 10-year deals from management side of the picture, because for the layman like myself and the people that follow the game, it's a little difficult to get our heads around 10-year deals and how that works out. So a little bit on Albert and a little bit on how 10-year deals work.
So as far as Albert goes, I really enjoyed my time with him. You know, he is, again, one of those generational players, generational competitor, loves the game, really one of the smarter players I've ever been around, had multiple conversations where I actually, just discussing the game, learned a lot being with him. You know, at the end of the day, I think this was more about Jared Walsh and giving Jared Walsh an opportunity to play first base every day. We felt like he had a chance to be an impact player for our team, both on offense and defense. You know, and we needed to see that happen. So I was really excited for Albert, his having a chance to go play for the Dodgers and make the postseason and be a big part of that. He deserves everything he gets going forward. I mean, the guy is a class act, to say the least. So, and for us, it worked out. And Jared had an outstanding season, made the All-Star team. We feel like he's a core piece for us going forward. So, you know, it was tough. You never want to go through that, especially with somebody you respect that much. But at the end of the day, we make decisions based on the organization and what we feel like the best thing for the organization is going forward. And we felt like that was a move that obviously needed to be made, and I think it worked out for everyone. As far as the long-term deals, to me, those are case by case. You do the work, 8-year deal, 10-year deal, to 5-year deal, 1-year deal, you're betting on the person. So if you have that much faith in the person you're trying to obtain, the player you're trying to obtain, you know, I don't necessarily think there should be a limit, in general. I think it's what you're comfortable doing and where your organization is. And, I think anytime you're doing a long-term deal, you know, I think it boils down to the makeup and the person.
Perry, we were talking earlier in the show about the CBA and the labor negotiations going on, and we played some sound from Commissioner Manfred, and I know, listen, nobody wants labor issues, nobody wants a lockout or any of that. What's your finger on the pulse of what's going on now? How do you see this, and what do you hope to see play out in the next few weeks?
Yeah, to me, it's business as usual. We've obviously been aggressive early. This seems like any other offseason. So we approach it day by day, business as usual. We're going to be aggressive day in and day out and try and make this team better.
Perry, when you look at baseball and some of the rules that they've tried, what are you as a baseball fan most interested in seeing? I know that Joe was on with our Lawrence Holmes yesterday talking about the pitch clock and how that could really impact just the continued movement of the game, faster game, better pace. What what rules, what situations do you like or dislike right now, and what would you like to see implemented full-time?
Well, I will say this. I think there's a – obviously, being around the game as long as I have, there's a traditionalist side of me. There is, to a certain extent. But, you know, the concepts that are brought up, what's been put in play over the last couple years, there's a lot of really, really intelligent people, people with a ton of experience, whether it be former managers, you know, whether it be people in the commissioner's office, Dan Halen, Morgan Sword, you know, obviously Commissioner Manfred, it's a collective group of people that want this game to be as good as it can be. And I support trying anything they feel like is the right thing to try. The pitch clock makes a ton of sense. I think it's something that we saw in the minor leagues this season in different places, and the flow of the game was outstanding. You know, I'm open to anything that they feel like will be good for the game.
Yeah, Perry, I think you're talking, I think all three of us on this discussion right now with yourself and Bruce and I, we're all in the same ballpark, right? We are all traditionalists. We love the history of the game, but we also want to see it move forward. So to me, a lot of that makes sense. Certainly the pace of play thing and the pitch clock make a ton of sense. And it's funny because we talk to Joe Maddon all the time during his time here in Chicago. How have you found working with him during your time there with the Angels, and how has he resonated with the guys in the clubhouse?
Well, he's outstanding. Obviously, his communication skills are second to none. He's taught me a lot, not only about baseball, but about music. I'm probably the least educated person on music on the face of the earth. So walking into his office, he usually has some kind of tunes going, and he gives me the rundown and why I should take a shot on it and give it a listen. And he's usually right. So he's been great to work with. Just seeing somebody that comfortable in their own skin, I think, is something to emulate. I don't think that's easy. You know, he is who he is. He's not scared to voice his opinion, which I love. I want this organization to be a place where people can voice their opinion, good or bad, you know, can be critical when they need to be critical, can praise when they need to praise. I think that's what makes great organizations, and he's front and center in that realm. I think he's got a great feel for players, a great feel for the game. Probably the one thing that I don't want to say I underestimated, but maybe didn't take into account as much as I should have, is his background in scouting. You know, he's a very good evaluator when it comes to players. And which is a huge bonus. You know, they're not, you know, you don't necessarily often see, you know, managers with that type of background who actually had an area and scouted for a significant period of time. So that's been a huge bonus for me. I think we have similar philosophies when it comes to playing the game and how it should look and how it should be played and what kind of players we want from a DNA standpoint. So I couldn't be happier working with a guy I feel like is a Hall of Fame caliber manager, and you know, I think we expect to improve and do good things in the future.
Perry, Mike, and I really appreciate your time. It's always great catching up with you. It was fun seeing you and catching up at the GM meetings. Hopefully, we'll be able to do it again at the winter meetings coming up on December 5th. Let's hope that there's no interruption and we can go ahead with the baseball offseason. Thanks again for joining us on Inside the Clubhouse. Talk to you soon, my friend.
I appreciate you both having me anytime. I'd love to do this again. Take care.
Thanks again.
All right.
Thanks, Perry. Perry Minasian, the Angels GM there. Bruce, great stuff. And I love the backstory. We could get into this in a little bit if we wanted to, but you mentioned it off the top. His family history in the game is really special and cool and fun for people who love baseball. You would love the backstory and how Perry grew up in the game.
Yeah,
coming up next, Bruce, we're going to talk a little free agency.
Yeah, absolutely. Our
new segment,
Chicago Bound. You will listen to what Mike and I think about players possibly on their way to Chicago via the South or North Side. That'll be coming up next.
Coming up next, we'll do the free agency. We'll talk about MLB front offices and the diversity issue. As we heard from Kenny Williams this week, we're going to talk about our award winners in the American League and National League for MVP and Cy Young. All of that coming up before we're out of here at 11 inside the clubhouse here on 670 The Score.
I'm going to tell you something that you all should know. Chicago is the greatest place I ever know. I'm gonna stay in this town. I'm gonna live in this town. I'm gonna live in Chicago, it's the greatest place around.
What new star players may be joining the Cubs and White Sox in 2022? David and Bruce explore the free agent and trade market as the offseason takes shape. Will it be Max Scherzer putting up zeros at 35th and Bill Veeck Drive? Or Carlos Correa hitting long balls at Clark and Addison? You and the guys discuss possible offseason MLB moves and speculate who may be Chicago bound at 312-644-6767 on Inside the Club. Clubhouse.
And we are back on Inside the Clubhouse, our favorite, one of our favorite times of year, hot stove time, and the jockeying, the free agency period set to begin. Lots of intriguing names out there. Alongside Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito in for David Haw today on Inside the Clubhouse. And Bruce, lots of big names out there. We just talked to Perry Minasian, who just signed to Noah Syndergaard earlier this week. We were looking for who's coming and who's going in and out of Chicago.
Well, Mike, let's start with a guy who's played for, the New York Mets for a long period of time. He's a right fielder. He's a left-handed bat. It's Michael Conforto. Michael Conforto put up as many as 33 home runs in 2019. The last couple of years, the 60-game season and this last year, not quite up to that level, but considered a top left-handed hitter in the National League and a guy who's a free agent. Mike, how do you think he might fit in with either the Cubs or the White Sox?
Well, I mean, he's a guy, he struggled this past year, Bruce, but we know what he can do. He might be one of those buy low guys in terms of, you know, he's not going to command the elite dollars. You might be able to get him looking for that bounce back. But in terms of what he can bring, certainly you look at the White Sox, what are their glaring needs, right? Second base, right field. We've talked about this many times. Certainly they're going to try to bolster that pitching too. But I think Conforto would be a fit on either side of town. At Wrigley, though, and with the Cubs, you then consider what to do with Jason Hayward if you sign a Michael Conforto, or what to do with Conforto. Who will play where if you were to pursue that angle, which would not be a bad angle, as we have talked about, too, and Jed Hoyer has said this. The Cubs plan to be active. They're going to spend their money wisely, and they have plenty of needs in that clubhouse.
312-644-6767. That's our number for Inside the Clubhouse. Feel free to join in as all of our segments are interactive 52 weeks out of the year as we talk baseball here on The Score. Mike, I think you have to forget about Jason Hayward being there. He's going to be there for two more years at $44
right.
million. Dollars. Hopefully he'll have a bounce back year. He had a very good 60-game season in 2020, and hopefully he has some bounce back. But I think you have to move forward. And at age 29, I think Conforto fits in on either side of town. As far as the White Sox go for Conforto, so you have two guys that can play right field for you. You actually have three. You have Adam Engel, mm-hmm. who's a defensive specialist and has shown some pop lately. You certainly have Gavin Sheets, who showed up and performed really well in a powerful left-handed bat. And, you know, again, you also have Vaughn. So you have Andrew Vaughn and you have these three guys. So talking to Rick Hahn earlier in November, he said that they might be going that direction. At the GM meetings, he talked about maybe adding an outfielder, but they feel very good about the combination of Sheets and Vaughn, both being young players under contract control, both having tremendous power potential. But Conforto maybe brings a little bit of the veteran left-handed bat that you can count on, certainly hitting the ball out of a guaranteed rate is not all that difficult when you get the ball up in the air. I think he's a very good fit over there. You talked about the money issue. He's probably going to get more than you think, Mike, because he is a Scott Boras client, and he is a left-handed power bat. Boras has a way of making people turn away from a down year like Conforto had, where he only had 14 home runs, and concentrate on those 33 that he had in 2019. So from the perspective of the White Sox, who want to add a defense and offense, I think Conforto is a fit.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, he would work on either side of town. And that kind of leads me, you mentioned, or we were talking about for the White Sox, second base and right field. Marcus Semien coming off of a huge year in Toronto. He's going to cash in. He is 31 years old. He obviously came originally from the White Sox organization. And there's a guy that would fit right in and be a huge contributor to the White Sox. What do you think would be the reality of them pursuing Semien?
You have an extra $200 million that you're carrying around that you'd like to
Let me get in my pocket here, Bruce. Yeah, for sure. And that's what I was going to say. What's the feasibility of something like that? Is that even something that they're going to consider?
My wonderful co-host, David Haw, who's taking a day off today, and I have talked about Semien in this segment before, Mike. And he does make a lot of sense for the White Sox because of the fact that he's a former White Sox player, came up in the system. We know what a great individual he is personally and as a teammate, considered one of the great teammates in the game. So he represents you both on and off the field in a great way. I don't know if they want to go and talk to Scott Boras, who Semien switched to as an agent just a couple months ago, on a deal for a guy that hit 45 home runs and can play second or shortstop. I don't know if that fits into the White Sox plans in the offseason, who would like to add a pitcher, an outfielder, a second baseman. I think in this case, the Semien money might eat up that entire allotment of what you want to have for all those guys.
That's a good point. And you know, when we talk about pitching, and we'll stay with the Sox too, because Rick Hahn, of course, you know, we know how they feel about Carlos Rodon, who declined the qualifying offer, but they're not, neither side ruling out a possible return. I guess this is one of the let's wait and see what kind of market develops for Carlos out there in the open market. But a guy who made the most of his chance last year after a lot of injury problems throughout his career with the White Sox, of course he makes sense as a starting pitcher for the White Sox, but the financial question looms.
Yeah, and that, and again, we're going to move on to pitching for both teams as to one of the free agents out there that I think fits for both the White Sox and the Cubs is 30-year-old John Gray. Now, Gray is a guy that's been drafted and been with the Colorado Rockies for 6 years now as a major leaguer. Gray has more strikeouts than innings pitched in his career. He has a career record of 53-49. Now, 4.59 ERA. So that's probably a half of a point high for where he should be at because of the fact that he pitches in Coors Field and has for a long time. The guy has a dynamic fastball. He's been an innings eater for Colorado, and age 30, I think he fits on both teams. Let's analyze how he might fit on the Chicago Cubs first, Mike. How do you see Gray possibly fitting in with the Cubs?
Well, you have absolutely a fit there with what the Cubs have currently, which is what? Wade Miley, Kyle Hendricks, and question marks after that, right? So starting pitching certainly I would put up there as their number one need. Gray will be, he's not going to be a break the bank guy, but as you mentioned, a guy that has had some success, has been dominant at times, and would come in and immediately slot into your number two or number three starter there for the Cubs. I think this makes a lot of sense for what Jed Hoyer is looking to do.
On the South side, the Chicago White Sox are going to be looking for another pitcher. Now, Michael Kopech is scheduled to step in and replace Carlos Rodon right now, the way that the rotation looks. Rodon now. But in the case of Gray, as you said, the economics for a very solid 30-year-old pitcher who has a good strikeout ratio to walk might fit for the Chicago White Sox as well. The inventory you're going to need, Mike, is the fact that Michael Kopech is coming off of 69 innings pitched. Mm-hmm. He's coming off of 2 years before that where he didn't pitch at all, okay? Took off 2020 COVID, year before recovering from Tommy John. So innings-wise, he's not going to be able to give you the 150 to 175 innings that you're going to be looking for. It might be closer to 125, 120, 30. Therefore, six men deep is something that the White Sox will probably be looking for as far as the rotation goes. And a veteran like Gray might fit right in for the White Sox as well.
No doubt. 312-644-6767 is our number, Bruce. We always love to check in with our listeners. Let's head out to Forest Park, and Tim has some free agent thoughts. Let's get those from Tim. Good morning, Tim. Oh, and Tim, we have lost Tim, so we will not get Tim's thoughts, but
Mike,
we'll continue.
What did you say to Tim? I mean,
I hadn't even had a chance to say anything to him yet, and alas, he hung up. But no, and Bruce, you know, I wanted to ask you too, as we talk about Chicago bound being who's going to be coming inbound here. I know there's a ton of interest if you look at the free agency list and the top free agents available, and what's going on in baseball. There's some very familiar names on there. Kyle Schwarber, Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Javier Baez, Jorge Soler is on there too, as somebody who, a lot of those guys that Cubs fans grew very attached to during that run in the middle of the last decade through the World Series, and then through last year's trade deadline moves. A lot of free agent movement there. And Schwarber coming off of a great year. Bryant, I think, did very well for himself out in San Francisco. A lot of question marks surrounding Baez and where he might end up. It's fascinating to see that at number one, to me, A, that none of these guys are on the Cubs anymore. And two, that, you know, here they are in their free agency years and where, you know, they'll be the best fit.
Well, you know, there's a lot of conversation about those guys. And heard some conversation yesterday about Anthony Rizzo and the fact that if Freddie Freeman is not prices himself out with the world champion Atlanta Braves, that Rizzo would be a perfect fit to go in there and play and sign a 3-year deal with the Atlanta Braves. You know, right now it looks like Freddie Freeman's asking for $200 million at age 32, going to play at 32. So is that what the Braves want to do? I know they want to have him back, but, you know, how much is he going to be worth to them? Mm-hmm. And, you know, is Rizzo not all that far off from Freddie Freeman, knowing the left-handed power bat, the defense, and the quality individual and teammate that he is? So that's interesting. Baez is being looked at a lot of different teams. And I think the New York Mets, who traded for him, is a team that would really like to have him back playing second base. Yep. He has said that he will consider playing second base, but he wants to play shortstop anywhere else other than in New York, where him and his longtime friend will be playing shortstop for the Mets. So, therefore, that's a possibility. Mm-hmm. And Chris Bryant, I don't know, there's so many teams. I think the San Francisco Giants would love to have Chris Bryant back. I know. Yep. Talking to Chris, and he doesn't want to preclude other teams, but I think a West Coast team where his family is in Las Vegas on the West Coast and a much shorter trip, I think that would be something that he would like to look at as well.
Yep, agreed. San Francisco certainly seemed to work very well for him. We'll see how that works out. And the Baez-Lindor combo for the Mets would be awesome for them, but then you have Javi at second, and I'm sure dollars will talk there in terms of what the Mets can offer. One more segment for us here on Inside the Clubhouse. When we return, we'll talk about the general MLB and the diversity factor. Kenny Williams had something to say on this earlier this week. We will bring that back. We'll hear from Jed Hoyer on that as well. More of your calls as you make them into us. We're happy to talk to you here on Inside the Clubhouse. It's Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito in for David this week. You've got the score. And we're back here on Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The score, Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito in for David this week. And Bruce, as we wind down the show, we definitely want to talk about what was one of the topics in the GM's meetings there. And I know Kenny Williams is the one that brought it up. We had Jed Hoyer on talking about it as well. Diversity in the front office, certainly an issue that deserves to be talked about.
Yeah, Kenny, in a great article by our buddy Mr. Rosenthal in the Athletic, he talked to Kenny about diversity and that, you know, walking into a general manager's meeting, not too many faces of color that he sees after all the pomp and circumstances and talk from MLB about diversification. It hasn't really resonated in front offices to the quite the extent people thought it they would. But let's listen to Jed Hoyer. He was on with Bernstein and Rahimi earlier this week, and he talked about diversity and where it should be going right now.
I thought Kenny's words, I think his thoughts were spot on and really powerful, you know, coming from him and the way he phrased things. I thought, you know, I think everyone in the room was sort of rapt attention. You could hear a pin drop, and he's 100% right. You know, I think you look around the room and it is very similar backgrounds. And I think that's something that we have to actively work on. And, you know, we've talked about this a lot internally, you know, as we go through each search, you know, how we change our hiring processes. You know, I think that I think it's a challenge that we all have to undertake. And I think that, you know, the hope has to be, you know, this is not going to be the kind of change that, you know, next year you're not going to look in that room. It's going to be completely different. But, you know, my hope is, you know, over the next, you know, 3 to 5 to 10 years that room changes completely. And it should. It should look a lot more like Major League Baseball looks. And it doesn't right now.
That's Jed. And Bruce, we've been through several waves of this where it used to be to get a GM position, you had to play the game, coach in the game, manage in the game. You had the baseball lifers that came in and would then move up the ladder and kind of run teams. Then, you know, let's call it the Theo effect, right? You had the, you know, now all of a sudden everyone's Ivy Leaguers. Everyone is analytics. Everyone is coming straight out of, as Jed said, central casting, kind of, you know, where you kind of know what you're looking at there. But it's an important thing to consider in terms of how do you diversify and where do these guys come from. I think Perry Manassian, who we just talked to, is a great example, a kid who grew up in the game. I know he's of Armenian descent, but regardless of his ethnicity or nationality or whatever, this is that to me is the best way to do it in terms of coming up through the game.
Mike, we're going to be a lot better off in sports, hopefully, in the next decade here, where these type of topics don't even have to be talked about because everything is well diversified. There are talented candidates out there. There are people who are very worthy of getting these jobs. The other side is that teams and owners have the right to talk to whoever they want and make the proper decisions on their side as well. So it's kind of a double-edged sword because we need more diversity in the game, and it's important that happens. But people's individual rights to hire who they think is the best candidate is also something that you have to consider.
Yeah, there's no doubt it's an interesting and multifaceted topic, and one that we are out of time for, unfortunately. We can certainly talk more about this, Bruce, but definitely a great show as always. Enjoyed being back and filling in for David this week.
Yeah, we appreciate Eduardo Perez from MLB Radio and ESPN TV joining us. Perry Minasian, the general manager of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, joined us as well. Adam Staszynski, a job well done, as always, as our producer. Mike, it was a pleasure working with you. People can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine. Also, our website, I write Cubs and Sox every week on our website, 670thescore.com. Looking forward to having David back, but thanks a lot for filling in, Mike.
My pleasure, Bruce. Great to be with you as always. I am on Twitter at Espo670. It's been great filling in for David Haugh this week. Coming up next, right here on The Score, oh man, Saturday suckage. What do Rosenblum and Grody have for you today? I'm sure it will be fun. That's coming up next, right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
.499-3733. That's 800-499-FREE. Guys, Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, free on the recorded message. Hold the line. $69 gets you this weekend and everything I do next weekend. It's normally $399. I'm letting it go for just a fraction of that cost because I want everyone to score big with me this weekend. Call now. 800-499-FREE. That's 800-499-3733.
Golf Mill Ford is giving 0% for 60 months plus $1,000 bonus cash on new Fords this month. And don't make a payment till February. This Ford Giant has your back, and they have the Fords. Push it, pull it, tow it to Illinois' largest Ford dealer and keep $1,000 bonus cash and drive interest-free for 5 years.
You're gonna save much, much more when you shop at Golf Mill Ford.
On Golf in Milwaukee.